Last time we began discussing the malacha of Zorah, winnowing, and we noted the presentation of the Iblei Tal, who presents a machlokas between Rabbi Chanan and Rashi as to how to understand the Gemara's suggestion that there's a commonality between Zorah, Borer, Umarake, that all of them are listed separately as independent malachas, even though ostensibly they're all variations on the same theme of being Borer Ochel from Sola, so separating the bad from the good, the used from the unused. So the Beinu Chananel presents the difference between Zohar, Borer, Merake is a function of the means of performing the Melacha. Is it the Kli, is it the Yad, or is it the Ruach? And Rashi presents the commonality as a function of the item that is subject to the malacha. Is it bekashim, mitzruos, or bekana? So that's what we refer to as whether the tzadashave, or the difference rather, is the echus ha-poel, the quality of that which is performing the malacha, that's the benachanan, or echus ha-nifal, the quality of that which the malacha is being performed on, and that's what we explained as Shitas Rashi.
Rashi of the Mishnah seems to be more like Rabbi Nechanel, I think.
In terms of the Rachas?
What's Rachas?
The Kli.
Oh, yeah, for all three of them, I think.
So at that point of Rashi, Rashi defines, or Rashi says, that Zorah is Berachas. There is a Minchas Chinuch that takes a Rashi very literally and assumes that the Malacha derives from Zorah, according to Rashi, is only the Kli. And if you threw it out to the wind, then that would not be malacha deraisa. Most achronim argue on that and minimize the significance of rachas in Rashi. You're right that Rashi says borer psolas biyadav also.
And also merakit.
And merakit is binafa. Right, that is a fair point. It's a fair point. It's not going to be fully explained what we're going to say in a moment, but yeah.
I want to argue that we shouldn't be medai too much in Rashi's on the Mishnah because he's just trying to describe what Zidur the Pas is. Like, when it says Zorah, it doesn't mean this is the, you know, formal Hagdara of Zorah. It means that when here's the general idea of Zorah. Zorah, you know, paradigmatically is this, and we'll get later on in the Masechta to describe what other...
It's possible. That's what I just meant when I said to Usher that what I'm about to say isn't going to fully explain, but it may partially explain, which is, I think, what you're saying. So, possible. Give me a second to move further. Rabbi Akiva Eger, in his Chidushim, asked the following on Rashi. This is on Ayin Hei Medei Tiber Maskel Medakdek. So there he asks, Rashi explained that Zohar, Bor, Merake are three independent malachos because Zabakash and Zabisrawos and Zabakamach. That each one is done on a different type of object. So he asks, why is that different than the comment that Rashi has on Ayin Hei and Beis, Yiver Maskel Nedakdek? Sorry, the Kivei was on Rashi, the Medakdek, but really on the Rashi of Harei Oreg, which is what we were analyzing. the Kedengas by the wife are different than what the Gemara has on Ayin Gimel Amid Beis, that Dash Menafet and Menafet are Kulan Malacha Achas. What's the difference between Dash Menafet and Menafet? So Rashi explains that Menafet is on Pishtan, Menafet is on Semer Gefen, but it's the same Pa'ula in essence as Dash. All of these things are removing the natural casement from the part of the growth grain product that you want to use. So why is it that when it comes to Zogar or Meraki, Rashi explains that those are separate malachos because there's a difference Beikos HaNifal, is it Bekashin, Surus Bekamach, and yet when it comes to Dash versus Menafet sounds like the exact same thing, that it's the same Pu'ula being done to different objects, and there it's listed as a single Malacha and not as multiple Malachas. Right? One's Tvur, one's Pishta, one's Semer Gefen. How is that fundamentally different than Kashin Surus Kemach of Zar Bore and Merake? That's your Kivegar's Kasha. And your Kivegar is Mitzayan over there that Tosfos seems to avoid this problem. What does that mean? So he references Tosos on Ayin Dalit Amud Aleph, Dibra Maskel Af Al Gad on the top. There Tosos writes, V'hadu l'chashiv shoveidu medakdek, l'fi shehem l'gamri b'chlal, nesach v'oreg, fine. So Tosfos seems to be miyaches to this issue of why is it that Zor Bor Merake are three malachos as opposed to Dash and Menafet. And Tosfos says, Zohar Bo Merakid are three, are Shloshet Varim, as opposed to Menafet and Menafet, and Dash, which is Zebet Fua, the Zebet Pishta. So Rebbe Kivegar seems to have understood that Tosfos is like the Rebbeinu Chananel, that if he's saying they're different, and that what's different about them is that Dash and Menafet are done to different objects, Zohar Bor Merake or Shloshet Dvarim, sounds like he's assuming Zohar Bor Merake or Shloshet Dvarim because they're done with a different Pu'ula as opposed to on a different object. So Kivegar seems to have understood that Tosfos is like that Rebbeinu Chananel in the Eglei Kalf presentation. And that's why Tosfos doesn't suffer from the same problem that he raises with Rashi. What's the difference between Zohar Bor Merake on the one hand and Menafet, Menafet, and Dash on the other hand? So says Rebbe Kivegar, and he leaves with the Tzarech Iyun on Rashi. Shvisas HaShabbos, in defense of Rashi, points to a comment in the Chidush Aran, Ayin Gimel Beis, Dibra Maskel Tana Hazareya, where he quotes from a Ra'am as follows. Because of Ra'am, this is what we left off at last time, but then, as I was saying it, I realized that I left out a step, and then we were out of time, which is why now. So he quotes from the Ra'am, Delodami Lizora Uborer Umarakeid, Shadindin Bishlosha, the Hassam Shloshtan Srichin Bidavar Echad. Avalkan, Hecha de Isa Lahai, Lessa Lahai, the Kulan Indian Tia Uzriahe. So the Rander is addressing why is it that Zoraya Zomer Noteya are all inyan malacha achas, as opposed to zar ba merakeid. So he says zar ba merakeid are shloshan tzrichin v'davar echad. So what it sounds like he's saying, the way the Shvitzes HaShabbos understood this ra'ah, and he presents this as an explanation for Rashi and light of Kivegas Kasha, it sounds like what he's understanding in the ra'ah is as follows. That, and I think this is what Aaron was saying, which may partially come back to Usher's point, but not necessarily fully, that within the order of operations for Sidur Depas, Zohar Bar Merakeid are all part of a process that leads up to Afiyah and a finished product. You have grain, so first you need to winnow the grain, and that way the initial psolus, the chaff, is separated from the wheat, and then you have kernels of wheat that fall on the ground. So those kernels of wheat now get mixed together with sroros, with pebbles, with some psolus on the ground. And then you have to be borer that kernel from the psolus that it got mixed together with on the ground. And then once you have that, you can do merakeid, you can do the sifting that is part of making the flour, or making that those kernels of grain into flour. So as part of the sidur depas, as part of the process leading up to the finished product of afiyah, all three of these melachos are independently necessary. As opposed to, let's say, so the Shvitzes HaShabbos is saying this to explain menafeit, and dash. So dash, menafeit, those exclusively are done on different objects, but they're not part at all of the same process. It's not that you have grain that becomes flax, that becomes cotton. Right. Over here, even though we're talking about a difference be'echos hanifal, that you have kashin tzroros and kamach, but it's the kashin themselves that part of it falls to the ground, it gets mixed with the tzroros, and then you make that into kamach. So that's all part of a continuum, which justifies why they would be listed as separate malachos, as opposed to parallels of menafeh dash, which are totally done in different classes and not at all part of the same continuum. You don't have two of them in tandem ever. So that's, I believe, how the Shvitzes HaShabbos understood the Ra'ah that the Ran quotes. And that's his Yishuv for Kivegas Kasha. What's the difference between Zorba and Merakeid? But Rashi seems to say the difference in Eichas HaNifal is enough to render them three independent Avos, as opposed to other examples where seemingly they're also different Be'echas and Nifl, and yet listed as a single Av.
So that assumes that there's like a intrinsic Yichus in the first stage of our logical thinking to like the Sidur Depas, and now we say, doesn't matter if they're doma to each other, because it's not a continuum. So Me'echatezi, meaning just because for Saramanim in the Mishnah, we had that Seder, I don't get where that Yichus of that Seder comes from, such that we require those three Mavos.
So that's a very strong Dumi Dimishkan orientation, that is Koveya, what we define as an Av and what we don't. So that's a strong Hachte Haved B'Mishkan Chashiva.
Tosfos says that Menachet was also in the Mishkan, so why doesn't that have the same Yichus? So you didn't...
It was in the Mishkan, but it was the same Pa'ula as Dash, and it wasn't part of the same... it's not that you needed both of them.
So we're saying, just to clarify, you need Tarti, you need both being in the Mishkan and also being part of the process.
I think that's what would emerge from this Ra.
The process wouldn't at all be halachically significant, like that you would need the process. Like, you wouldn't have needed to have done Zohar in order to be over Borer.
Correct.
But that's just how we would...
That's how it happened in Mishkan, and... Right,
so it's not for me to just in terms of defining it, but not in terms of saying, in order to actually be Chayev.
Correct. Definitely not in terms of what you need to be chayiv. It's just a question of how do we define avos in the pristine state. Correct. Okay. The Gemara in Bava Kamma in Perek HaKones on Daf Samuch Amud Aleph has the following Tanarabanan. Liva v'lipsa ruach, if a person fans a flame, and the wind also contributes to the fanning of the flame, so if the action of the individual is sufficient to have caused an ezek without the assistance of the wind, then that's enough to create a chiyuv. But if the ezek wouldn't have been created without the wind's assistance, then he's pater. So why is it fundamentally different than the act of Zora, where you're chayiv for Zora on Shabbos, even though the ruach is misayaya, and your act of throwing it into the wind without any wind would not have resulted in a chiyuv? Rav Aye, Hachamai, Skin, Gan, Shaliba, Misad, Achav, Lipsa, Ruch, Misad, Acher. So Gemara's four Teirutzim how to distinguish between Liba v'Lipsa Ruach, only Chayiv if your action is enough to create the Hezek, and Shabbos, where apparently you're Chayiv even if your action isn't enough to perform the Malach without the Ruach. And Rav Ashi answers that Zor Ruach Mesayaso is only Chayiv in Shabbos because Malach is not Shabbos Asur Torah, as opposed to Nezikin, where there's a different standard of Grumim in Nezikin Pater. So this act is an act of grama, but in the Zikin, that results in a p'tor. In Shabbos, Malach is not Shabbos, has the Torah, and it results in a chiv. Says Rashi, Malach is not Shabbos, niskaima mach shivaso, denichalei buach misayaso. That your intent is fulfilled because you want the ruach to be misayaya in order for the winnowing to be effective. So dafka by Shabbos, that which otherwise v'chol haTorah kula would have been an act of grama, on Shabbos, malachas ma'Shabbos creates a chiyuv. So this sounds like an example of, an instance of malachas ma'Shabbos l'chumra. Usually, malachas ma'Shabbos is invoked as a kula. Something otherwise would have been a malacha, would have been chayiv, but because Malachas Machshavas Asa Torah, and you're lacking Malachas Machshavas, we knock down a deraisa to a derabanan. Here, we're talking in the opposite direction, that we have an action which V'chol haTorah Kula would have resulted in a p'tor of Brahma, but Malachas Machshavas Asa Torah creates a chiv. The Rush over here, Perek Vav, the end of Simen Yud Aleph, writes as follows. And it's conventionally understood that this is a different approach that is cholik on Rashi. So says the Rush, V'lo amrinan afa pishesiyaso haruach basiyasa eish havi ki'ilu huaso levado. We don't say when it comes to Nezikin that it's as if the Masik did the Melacha, did the Hezek himself, where the Ruach is Messiah him. So we don't say that Nezikin is like Shabbos, where it's considered that you did the block yourself and your chayiv, even though Ruach Misayaso. The Hasam Lachas Mach Shabbos Asatorah. Afa pi delo havi elagrama ba'alma. Even though the act that you're doing by Zorah Ruach Misayaso is fundamentally an act of Brahma, ba'ach chiva Torah, cave on the Malachazu. So here, even though it's objectively an act of Brahma, but the nature of Zorah is such, you can't do Zorah without Ruach. That's definitional. So if there is a Malach of Zorah, Zorah requires the participation, the presence of a Ruach, and that's what the Malach of Zorah involves. So the Achronim understand, Chaim Ozer points this out in Chela Gimel Simen Samach, that the Rush and Rashi are cholik as follows. According to the Rush, you don't necessarily see from this Gemara a broad kolalistic Shabbos principle that Malachas Machshavas can create a chiyuv, all you see is that in the limited instance of Zorah, where the definition of Malacha requires involvement of the Ruach, so then, even though the action that you're doing of winnowing, throwing into the wind, v'chol haTorah kula, would have been viewed as grama, nevertheless, here you're chayav, because Malachas Machshavas as the Torah tells you that that's the definition of the Malacha of Zorah. As opposed to Rashi, who sounds like it's a more Klalius idea in Shabbos, that any time you have Niskaima Machshavaso, that could create a Chiyav, the Malachas Machshavas Asatora could create a Chiyav rather than a Ptur. Aaron.
This particular Gemara speaking about Zorah, would Rebbe say that the conceptual question here regarding the involvement of the Ruach is equally applicable to Malachas Bishol, because Bishol is done al yidei ha'esh, and that esh is something which is external. You're not cooking anything, you're putting something on a fire, the fire does the cooking. So would we have to apply this analysis to justify why Bishol is a malacha, not a grama as well?
There is still a difference when you're mevashel, so everything is in place, there's no other force, the fire is there, you're putting something on the fire, without going into whether grama is a function of time delay or inevitability, which maybe we'll talk about later in the limud and other contexts, when I put something on the fire, all the ingredients are in place for the malacha to be performed. When I throw something into the air, all the ingredients are not there unless there's a wind that comes and blows it.
Well, I mean, if the wind is already there, I mean, if there's already wind blowing, you know, it's a storm. I mean, do people winnow on a non-windy day and just hope that in the mid-air that a gust of wind will come and help them?
Probably not. I think there is an intuitive difference between the two. I'm just trying to figure out how to express it.
Why don't we just say that the definition of Bishol doesn't require any ish, the Rosh? Meaning, it's exeris hakasav that Zorah means Ruach. That's what the Rosh is saying, but by Bishol,
right,
it's just heating up the food, ish or otherwise.
Mishnah derisa may require Eish or a derivative of Eish. Okay, let's think about exactly the formula. Gabe.
One more time. Rechaim was just saying that through Rashi, anytime you have Neskhan Makshav, though, even if it's Mederach Grama, maybe you still be Chayav.
Right.
Then what's the portion of Grama?
I'm sorry?
Then what's Grama? Meaning, the reason I'm asking that is it's kind of from Grama and Chavez that they put them, no? So every time, like anytime you do Makshav Mederach Grama, there's Neskhan Makshav, you still put them. So Rashi's still going to have to explain why it's always different than anything else.
So there will still be. There may be different types of grama or different degrees of grama. Now let's just give another example of where this may apply. We had referenced this idea when it came to the Avnei Nezer's understanding of the Shita Sariva by Shriyas Zoki Buso. But more explicitly, this comes up in a comment of the Ran when it comes to the Malacha of Kosev. The Gemara has on Daf Kuftalad and Beis on the bottom, a few lines in the bottom. Higia os achas chayev. Even though the shear for Kosev is writing to osios, but if you are magia one os, you're chayev. So the Gemara tries to figure out what is that case of Magia Os Achas. So Rav Shesha says, we're talking about the case of Nutlo Gagol Shel Ches V'Yasor Shnei Zayin. That you had a Ches, you removed the Gag of the Ches, and now you're left with two Zayins. So you only did one act, you started one Os, but now by removing the Gag, you've created two Osios, and that's enough to create a Chiyuv for the Malacha of Kosev. That's the Gemara. There's a Rashba here, Kuvdal and Vez. The Rashba writes, Mehadar mina hacha my skin of Kyon Shinatu Lagago Shachas Yasar Shne Zayin, Shamin and the Chayai Gavna lo mikri chatuchos. So in Hilchos Ksiva, B'chol Torah Kula, Ksiva for Get, Ksiva for Sam, if you create a letter through Chaktuchos, through chiseling out, through a scraping off, that's not considered Ksiva. So at first glance, I would have said that if you have a Ches, and I scrape off the Gag, that should be Chaktuchos. That should be that I've created a letter, or two letters, to Zayins, by scraping out. So that would be possible for get, that would be possible for stop. Says the Rashba, no, that's not called chotuchos, that's kemafri ben shtei osios dibukos. That's analogous to if I had two letters that were touching each other and I scraped something to separate the letters, that's not chotuchos b'chalotar kula, therefore it would be kasher for stop, it would be kasher, leaving aside when you need kasidram, it would be kasher for stop, it would be kasher for get, and it would be a chiyuv deraisa for Shabbos. However, the Ran, Lamed Zayin of Beis Vedat Be'erif, the Ran writes, not so fast. Quotes the Rashba. Says the Ran, V'linira de'ei mikan raya. No. You can't prove anything from this din of Megi Osachas, of removing the God of the Ches, to Ksiva B'chol Torah Kula. The Lagabe Shabbos, Leka Kepeda, bin Chaktuchos Hakirechos. Chaktuchos Hakirechos, that's Ksiva Samolacha, that's a Gedolacha. But it doesn't affect us in Hilchos Shabbos. To call Hechadavi Malachas Machshaves, Mechayev. As long as you do an act which is Malachas Machshaves, then you're going to be chayiv. Sharei afilu moche kamenasichta v'chayiv. Avamidi deviina and ksiva. The left ksiva ki agav nein lanu. So maybe it's not kosev b'chol Torah kula. It's not kosev for some purposes, but it's still going to be a malacha deraisa for Shabbos purposes because malachas machshavas asa Torah. And here your intent was to create two letters. Niskay machshavaso. That could be a malacha deraisa of kosev. So that's another instance where there's a possibility that Yad Malachas Machshavas L'Chumra, that the intent creates a Malacha D'Araisa, even though that same act would not be considered Kosev, would not have the same Agdara, B'chol HaTorah Kula. I guess you're right, Gabe. You have to figure out for Rashi, when do we say that Niskai Machshavaso would create a Chiyuv, even though ostensibly what you're doing may be Grama, and when do we stand by defining something as Grama in Hilcha Shabbos?
Is there have to be, for Grama to be true, does there have to be like an action on Shabbos? Like how far can this be taken? Like,
what do you mean?
Like, for example, setting a timer for Shabbos or whatever, where you have Machshava for those things.
Right, so those are the sugyas on your test cuff and the millstone question. You have the various iterations of Machlokas, Beishame, Beiselel, about putting something into place before Shabbos, where something's going to happen on Shabbos, but that's not a Grama calculation. That's a part of that relates to Shvi'is Kalim. Part of that relates to, in general, the Shita of Beis Hillel that you can put something in motion before Shabbos, even if it's going to result in a Malacha being done on Shabbos. That's a different calculus than this one on Malacha Shabbos.
Even though you have the Malacha Shabbos for it to be done,
care about it. Mm-hmm. So we may. I'm sorry.
So what's like the difference from this one?
Here you're doing it on Shabbos.
So the fact is that you're doing an action. You know that action.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do something.
Just a question on the previous hour. Why is it not clear for Rashi that all Grama is Chayiv?
Why is it not clear from Rashi that all Grama is Chayiv? That's not true.
I mean, we know cases that Grama and Shabbos is Chayiv.
Mm-hmm.
I think mine is also going to be on keyboard.
I'm sorry?
Right.
Okay. Now, ground keeper may be different because of the nature of the Lashem Lachem Mechaba, but correct. Okay. So we had noted last time back to Zohar. Rabbeinu Chananel writes, Ein Dalarim and Aleph, V'cheinam natal biyado adam tfua b'tivna u'b'psalus sheyeshba. If a person takes a unit of grain which has the psalus attached to it, v'nipeach ba beruach piv, and he blows it with his mouth, u'birer, and that affects a separation, a selection of the psalus from the opel, chashav hu kizora. So the act of zora is not only if you throw it into the natural wind, but if you create the wind yourself, that's an act of zora as well. If you're menapeach beruach piv, that's an act of zora as well. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, Shin Yatesif Kafav, Hayelo Chitim Shenimlulu Me'er Shabbos, Achadayin Heimu Ravim Ba'amos Shalahem, that if you have grain or wheat that is still connected to the chaff, lo yinafel sam bekinon obatamchul because you get nafik fara, so you can't separate it out with a kli. Sheyich was a breira v'chay chatos. The gam lo yinafel chosam b'shtei yadov. Shahainu she ar miyad liyad as she yasser amutz. Dizeu uvda dechol. And you can't sift them from hand to hand. He calls that uvdin dechol if it's not an actual act of reira, because you're not actually removing anything. Ela min apeach biyado achas ubechol kocho. But you could fan it with one hand. Vahainu sheyitlam biyad. The Agbiya Hayad, the Ashpila Ad Shetaver Hamos Kedelasos Ayideshinoi. So you could put it on your hand and then in a quick motion go up and down in such a way that the chaff is going to come off. Well, in Afeach Befiv near the Vade Mutter. But to blow with your mouth, he thinks that's definitely Mutter. So Rabbi Kar points out that the Aruch HaShulchan probably didn't see the Rabbeinu Chananel, which hadn't been printed yet. And he speculates that if the Aruch HaShulchan would have seen the Rabbeinu Chananel, maybe he wouldn't have assumed that it's so pashut that it's mutter to be Minapeach Bifif. The Alter Rebbe seemingly says something similar to Rabbeinu Chananel in a slightly different context. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav in the Siddur has a brief essay called Hilchos HaRabso L'Shabso, printed in the Alter Rebbe Siddur, which he goes through brief aras about things that people are nichshel on in Hilchos Shabbos. So one of the things that he discusses there is what to do if there's a fly in your soup. He writes that he thinks, we'll talk about this when we get to Boer, but he thinks the common solution that Mishabura discusses of taking out some of the soup together with the fly is potentially a malacha d'oraisa. So we'll have to talk about that when we get to Boer. And he says the only solution to this problem, what to do with there's a fly in the soup, is to pour the soup out until the fly comes out with whatever soup you're pouring out. Then he writes, you can't blow it out of the soup. But you can blow it to the side of the bowl in such a way that you can then pour out the fly with the soup. Meaning, if the fly is in the middle, so he's saying the only solution is to pour out as much soup as you need to pour out until the fly gets out. The thing he's saying is that if the fly is in the middle, you're probably going to have to pour out more soup than if the fly would be on the side. So you can blow the fly to the side and then pour out soup, but you can't blow the fly out. So it sounds like he's assuming that blowing the fly out would be itself an act of, I assume, Zora, if Zora is borrowed with the wind. So it sounds like he's assuming that Zora, that blowing something with your mouth, would be Zora, which is what we see in the Rabbeinu Chananel.
The difference between that case and a normal piece of Zora, generally in Zora you have the wind that's already blowing, then you put something in the front of the wind, whereas here the thing, the tarobus itself is sort of staying put, and then you're supplying the wind, and it can be chayav for Zora that way. Is that a meaningful distinction? Meaning where your maisa is putting the tarobus to the wind versus where your maisa is supplying the wind to an existing tarobus?
Well, what Rabbeinu Chananel says that that the Blach applies even to Ruach Biv, that's saying that Zohar applies even to Ruach Biv, not even throwing it to the wind. That wouldn't necessarily be intuitive. The Aruch HaShulchan didn't think that was true.
I mean, but he's also, the Rabbeinu Chananel is as well, he's talking about a case where it's in your hand. Is that at all significant?
Rabbeinu Chananel is talking about a case where it's in your hand. I'm not sure why that should be significant.
Meaning, when it's in your hand, you're blowing on it, like, you're still putting the Tarobes in front of the wind. You're supplying the wind as well. Similarly to a piece of Zohar, where you put something...
No, well, you're supplying the wind there, meaning if you're blowing, you're blowing is the wind.
But you're also holding up the Tarobes to the wind.
Well, you mean to your blowing?
Yes.
So you want to distinguish between that and just blow... I'm saying, why is the fact that you're holding it significant?
Because you're bringing the Tarobes to the wind. I mean, you're also supplying the wind as well, but the presence of your hand there is what's causing the Tarobes to actually be in the path of the Lord.
And why should that be critical to the definition of the Melacha? The Ramah writes in the end of Shin Yotes if you Zayin, Harok eik Ruach b'Shabbos, v'Ruach mefazer Harok, Chayim Mishum Zora. If you spin into the wind on Shabbos, and the wind disperses your spit, that's a Malach of the Raisa of Zora. Maril v'Shem Or Zeruah v'Yerushalmi. So the Or Zeruah quotes this, Or Zeruah Simen Yotes, it's Yerushalmi. What does Yerushalmi say? Perek Zayin, Halacha Beis, Rak v'frichasa ruach. If you spit, and the ruach disperses your spit, Chayim Mishum Zora. That's the Malacha Daraisa of Zora. The Iglai Talmud points out, first of all, Sifkatan Aleph Os Aleph, that this is the Or Zeruah, the Shitas Yachin and Rishonim. And none of the other Rishonim quote this Yerushalmi. And he then points out there in Os Dalid that what the Yerushalmi seems to be assuming is that the standard case of Zohra, the case of Zohra that we're familiar with, is where the wind is separating psalms from Ocha. And the Yerushalmi is taking that one step further and assuming that even if there's no psalms in Ocha per se, but just dispersing spit itself, would be a malacha of Zohra. Just dispersing something in the wind itself, even without separating solos from ochel, would be Zohra d'oraisa. Which doesn't seem to be consistent, says the Iglai Tal, with the presentation of the Bavli, that Zohra and Merakeid are fundamentally one and the same, if not for some difference that we need to define, meaning that they're fundamentally the same, because they're all acts of being mafrid solos from ochel. If it's the case that Zohar would be chayiv even by just spitting into the wind where there's no psalms and ochel being dispersed, then that sounds like Zohar is much broader than just being mafrid psalas from ochel.
Are we saying that the Bavli saying that they're all the same is necessarily talking about ochel and psalas? Because it's only one day out of the Amorah.
What do you mean only one day in Amorah?
I mean, isn't there a machlokas Amorah about whether or not you even need Ocham and Apsolas, or both?
So, first of all, we'll see according to the Rabbi Yishadim, it's not really a machlokas, but everyone agrees in principle. But fundamentally, even if you were to read that Gemara is indicating that there are separate carve-outs for Borer, but I think everyone agrees that on some level, Borer is an act of removing, Borer by definition is removing one substance from another. There is, by definition, it's removing something from a tarobas. If you're going to say that just spinning in the wind is itself a malacha, so that saying Zohar is a lot broader than just separating two parts, where we have ochel and psalas, or functional and non-functional. Mishabrua sifkat and samazayin kosu yukiv eger lo reinu misha choshe shozeh. Kevin de'ena miskavin l'kach, ein zederach zora. So the Mishnah Berurah is not so concerned about spinning into the wind. And he writes in Berlacha, Dibur Maskil Mefazer, he quotes from this Rebbe Kiveger. There's a comment to Rebbe Kiveger in the Hagan Shulchan Aruch that the Mishnah Berurah is referencing. And here he's quoting the Tshuva, Simon Kaf. Nistapek b'shofek mayim mu'atem mitzlochis derech alon. You throw out, you spill out some water from a plate out the window. Baruch mefazer atipos echapon l'kav echapon l'kav. Is that going to be a malacha daraisa of Zorah? So Rebbe Kiveger says, the poskim don't quote the Yerushalmi. Apparently we're not concerned about it. Even according to the Ramah, maybe stafka baroch, because just like Eidisha Ma'amr B'Gidulei Karka, maybe in Zorah El B'Gidulei Karka. Adam is Gidulei Karka, so his bit is Gidulei Karka. But water stam is not Gidulei Karka. And anyway, it can be Masarv and the Psik Resh Gidulei Nichalei. And then he quotes Sefer Alfei Menashe. Maybe the Shami is talking about something else. Maybe that's Dafka talking about an issue of Mabri Dalet Amos, which is a Rabbi like Deiruach. That if you're spitting, the problem is that the wind's going to carry your spit Dalet Amos, and that's a Mabri, which is a Rabbi problem. So the Mishnah Berurah is not so concerned about spitting into the wind. Aruch HaShulchan goes so far as to suggest Shin Yutes Membeis that maybe there's the Tos Ofer. Maybe along the lines of what we just saw in the Be'er Halacha, instead of Zoreh, Yerushalmi really meant to say Zorek, as in throwing Brishas Arabim or Mavri Brishas Arabim. So the Mishnah Berurah and Aruch HaShulchan are not so concerned about this din, even though the Ramah quotes it. There is a Magen Avraham in Hilchos Pesach. What do you do if you find chametz bismanis or chametz on Shabbos on Yom Tov? Zar mefar l'ruach. So says the Magen Avraham, tough mem vav zikat and beis, not so fast. Maybe Shdafi is an Akum, Shvus the Shvus Malka Mitzvah. Maybe Zola Ruach is a Malacha Daraisa. Better to be called for Kli. And the Mishnah Berurah there, Taf Mem Vav Sukkot and Vav, argues on the Malka Daraisa. He thinks it's Mutter, period, full stop. Shari Tzion Zion is not a Malacha Daraisa. I am Malacha Daraisa. So we already explained that we're not so concerned about this Ramah in Shin Yud Tes. It's an interesting comment of the Chemda Sisrael, the Klei Chemda, where he writes that maybe Pshat Yerushalmi is as follows. That we were bothered, as Igwe Tal points out, Yerushalmi seems to be assuming a fundamentally broader scope of Zorah than just separating Ochel and Soles. So the Chemda Sisrael says, maybe not. Maybe the Shami means that, I don't know what science he's talking about, but he says that spit or saliva is comprised of kama yesodos, as the experts can tell you. And if you're going to spin into the wind, then the yisodos are going to be separated ayidei ruach kamo ayidei meleches balei akemya, and that's bor gomer. So I don't know what the chemistry that he's talking about is, or the physics, but he's somehow suggesting that maybe that's really an act of bor after all. Yes?
Bor le'ibud? Like, no ochel, no psoles. You're throwing it on the ground. It's like the basket of fruit.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, it's like, how would it be more than like a secretion of a nichon?
I don't know. I don't understand. I'm just throwing it out as a mar mokum. Yeah.
Does anybody suggest that it's a tau zorah, I should say zoreya, because you're watering the ground?
I haven't seen it, but
I think the Dukes recorded with Nisim Kavelis, who said you're allowed to spit out Shabbos. That's right.
Onto the,
on, onto the ground. There was so, because it was a small amount of water. That's like five
bells.
Okay.
Yeah?
You're off a Shabbos, or else
making it. You're off a Shabbos, making it, spitting onto the ground? Because it's not.
Yeah, you're not doing anything.
I have to share.
No, it's over. I think it's like Marshall.
Oh, you mean it's
in the legal.
It's not even a chatzim lach.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be the mind.
Rabbi Karp suggests the following of Shani Yerushalmi, that when you spit, maybe we're not. We shouldn't be looking, if we're trying to define Olam Solos, we shouldn't be looking at the spit as being comprised of both Ochel Psoles, but the spit is Psoles relative to you, meaning you're the Ochel, and you're removing the Psoles from your body, so then maybe that's an act of selection or an act of separation.
Must I go to the bathroom?
Well, there's no wind there, that's the point.
I mean, there's no wind when you spit either. I mean, you just, maybe
well, we're talking about spitting into the wind.
Oh, spitting into the wind.
Yeah, they're talking about spitting into the wind. So maybe that's considered Hafrada Sapsoles Baruach. Rav Asher Weiss entertains a similar idea in Minchas Asher on Shabbos Simin Samach Dalit, but he doesn't go with that in the end.
Regardless, it's not really Ruach Asayatu there, because like you could spit very well without the wind, and then you no longer have to rely on it. The wind may carry it further, but if it's just separating it from you, you don't particularly need to do that.
Okay.
It's,
okay.
Has nothing
okay.
To do with,
so, is there any halacha aside from spitting into the wind, which the Ramaz Machmiran and Mishmurach HaShochan aren't so convinced about? Are there any other potential halacha l'maisa applications of this? So, some of the later posts can discuss whether there's any potential Zohar exposure by using an aerosol spray can. Minchas Yitzchak Chelik Vav Simen Kavav, Minchas Yitzchak Chelik Vav Simen Kavav, regarding spraying perfume on Shabbos. So he raises the question whether there's any potential issue of Zohar. Based on this, Yerushalmi, he says, no, he doesn't think so. That here, in the case of the Yerushalmi, even if we're going to be machmir on spitting into the wind, so there we're talking about a situation where nothing would happen, the act wouldn't happen without the ruach. The rakach because of ruach is where it wouldn't go anywhere without the ruach. So there, the Yerushalmi entertains that there's a malach zorah. But when you're spraying a can or perfume, so the koach that spritzes it out is internal. It's from the can. It's not an outside force.
I totally missed the point on the malacha. I mean, how do we get from separating? This whole thing started about separating.
So that's what we have to figure out on the Yerushalmi. Meaning that's the problem that we raised. Right. Yerushalmi seems to be expanding Zohra well beyond Ochel Tzolas. So, but nevertheless, the Ramah quotes Yerushalmi. So if you're concerned about the Yerushalmi, then it sounds like we're assuming, unless you have any of the fancy Hasbeirim that we suggested, or at least quoted, at first blush, it sounds like the Yerushalmi is expanding Zohra for whatever reason we don't quite understand. But then it could apply more broadly. So even what the Dayan Weiss is saying is that even if you assume a broader scope of Zohra that would include anything that you're throwing into the wind that the wind is going to carry away, But still, that wouldn't apply to an aerosol can, because there, the koach is coming internally. It's whatever's in the can that's expressing it, and it's not coming from an outside force of the ruach. Yeah.
He's being choshish for the Ramah, just saying it doesn't apply here. Mm-hmm. Like, Valachi gives psachic haralah.
He's saying, even if we are concerned about the Rishon, we wouldn't apply here.
Could there be any issue of Zorah utilizing not wind but air? For example, let's say you had a fistful of leaves and acorns, and you threw it. You know,
right.
So the acorn that's very aerodynamic; it'll fly straight to the air. But if you're trying to throw a leaf, it'll just sort of, because of the air resistance and its flimsiness, it'll just fall to the ground. So in that scenario, because of the air, when you throw it, they separate. But there's no wind per se.
So would the physicists say that it's an outside force that is separating?
The physicists would say that if this would occur in an absolute vacuum, then
right, then nothing would happen.
They would, they would both go at the same rate in the same direction because of the air, because of the presence of the air,
mm-hmm.
and the air resistance. That's why the leaf will not travel.
But you say, by the same token, in theory, if you have wheat and chaff, and you were to throw it with enough force, even where there's no wind, that could affect some separation of the chaff.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Wouldn't that make it worse?
What do you mean?
In the whole, the Gemara of Kama was saying that, when the wind helps you, and see that's grum, you can still finish your chayv. But here, there's not even. I mean, it's just you.
Well, that's what we're asking. Is it just you, or there is? Do I still call that an outside force?
Yeah, it's an amount of shock. I mean, either it's just you with your chayv, or it's.
Then Gibbs tries to say it's either Zora or Bor.
You're not separating it beyond.
In the presence of an outside force, you have to get onto the whole chiddush of groma doesn't apply here to be machayev. Whereas if there's no
right.
outside
Boer ayude groma is not going to be chayev.
So what would call it a groma?
I'm sorry?
What would call it a groma if the air is there, it's stagnant? I mean, like, is that really a groma? Or is that just utilizing the air, which has no koach on its own, like any other physical object that you would.
No, it may not be grammar. I'm saying it the grammar presumably would not be chayiv. But here, is this in essence the halachic equivalent of Ruach Misayaso? Or is that just not Dumi Demishkan enough? I don't know. Think about it. Rabbi Eiderkos Ramosha is saying pretty much the same thing. This is Ha'ara Samaches on Zora in Rabbi Eider's book. The Ramosha is Matir aerosol sprays. Number one, that there's no ruach that is misayaso. Anything that comes out is because of the internal force of the can itself. And because he assumes that if something's kulo ocher, the kulo psolis, it's not going to be zora. Which then they have to figure out what the pshat Yerushalmi was. But halacha l'maaseh, Moshe said that you don't have to worry about aerosol Sreikans as far as Zoret. Another marmokom is Rav Avadya, Yadia Omer Chelid Dalid Arachayim Lamed Zayin, Chelid Dalid Arachayim Lamed Zayin, who anyway is skeptical about whether you have to be choshesh for the Yerushalmi. And the Devar Tziner, Ber Moshe, Chelid Vav Simen and Aleph, Chelid Vav Simen and Aleph, discusses using a cold water vaporizer on Shabbos. Hot water would be a problem of bishul if you're putting water in on Shabbos. But can you put water into a cold water vaporizer on Shabbos that is on? Is that potentially an issue of Zoreh? Because when you're putting the water in, it's now being vaporized through the vaporizer. And he assumes as well that that would not be a problem of Zoreh. So bottom line, most poskim are makel on this. Even to spin him to the wind, like the Mishnah Berurah, despite the Ramah. Rabbi Karp thinks, Alechachila, you should be machmir on both of these. Should be machmir like the Ramah. He doesn't exactly say it, but it sounds like. If he would say you have to be machmir not to use an aerosol can of Shabbos, then there's no deodorant that you could use. Meaning, to use a roll on deodorant is a mamachic problem that will. That we'll get to later in the year. So if you're going to knock this out because of Zorah, then it's Yom Kippur every Shabbos. I think we're making on that. Yeah?
You also have to overcome the Nolad issue we said by the whipped cream, meaning it's only like deodorants which are like liquid and liquid, but if it were to change form, like let's say the soap.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's not aerosol, but I guess a different type of aerosol, meaning whipped cream, aerosol questions which have the whipped cream factors, then lapped up gets whipped.
You're saying about the Nolan. Anyway, whipped cream is that many or make all that.
Right.
That's not Nolan. Okay. Fine. So, yeah.
What's the name of the Debatiner Sefer? Like the ones in window?
The Ber Moshe. Okay. We're going to begin Boer, at least briefly, and the segue from Zohar to Boer, aside from the Gemara's Sada Shabbat Zohar Boer Merake, is the comment of the Baal Mor to the Sugyan Kuvav Med Aleph, which appears on, so piece that begins on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis B'Daf Erif, Lamed Zayin Amud Beis B'Daf Erif, the Baal Mor is bothered. Why isn't Zorah Borer a Malacha Shenis Vichol Gufa? If I'm removing psalms from Ochel, if I'm removing the chaff from the wheat, I don't have any interest in the psalms, I don't have any interest in the chaff. Why isn't that a classic Malacha Shenis Vichol Gufa? So, Malacha Shenis Vichol Gufa is Pater. Then where does Zohar Borer fit in? So Baal Mor assumes that even if, in general, Malacha Shenis Vichol Gufa is a separate category and not a Malacha Daraisa, but Zohar Borer are different because, definitionally, this is what Borer means. Borer means removing solas from Ochel. So even though if I were to look at that objectively, I would call that a malacha shenis vichol gufa within Rashi's definition of malacha shenis vichol gufa l'salka me'elav, not Tosis' definition of Mishkan. But if I have the Rashi's view of the world, that a malacha shenis vichol gufa is something that is misalka me'elav, that your point is to remove it or prevent it in malacha, so Boer really should have been a malacha shenis vichol gufa, but that's the definition of Boer, that's the definition of Zorah, that you're chayiv, even though it's a malacha she'ena svicha legufa. And the Ramban there argues, and the Ramban argues that in fact Zohar Bora is a malacha ha svicha legufa. Presumably because we're looking from the perspective of the ochel, not from the perspective of the psoles, which we'll flesh out as we go on. The Mishnah Berurah, there alacha simin shin yutas if gemol. Hebrew Maskel Lachol Miad. Shin Yotes Tifkata and Gimel. So the Berlacha there quotes a Yeshua Yaakov, Shin Yotes Sifkatan Aleph. Yeshua Yaakov writes that from his youth, he was always bothered by this problem. How is it that your chayiv for Borer isn't it a melacha she'eino tzricha legufa? So he writes that he didn't think the Baal Amor solved the problem, because if the Baal Amor is correct, then why don't we make Borer into a binyan av to teach you that melacha she'eino tzricha legufa is chayiv? Baal Amor is saying that in general, melacha she'eino tzricha legufa is pater. Borer is an exception because it's definitional, so maybe the exception should prove, maybe the exception should be melamed, that that's actually the rule. Maybe that should be the binyan av to teach you that melacha she'eino tzricha legufa is chayiv. So the Yeshua Yaakov says he wasn't convinced by the Baal Amor. He thinks that a different calculus. When it comes to Borer, even though it's true that you're removing the psolas from the ochel, and the psolas itself, the removal of the psolas I should have viewed as a melacha she'eino tzricha legufa, but ultimately the ochel is also compromised by the presence of the psolas, and when I'm removing the psolas, I'm enhancing the ochel. So it's really a melacha ha'tzricha legufa, because the act of removing the psolas is enhancing the ochel, it's tikkun ha'ochel. So the nature of the melacha borer, the focus isn't on hasaras ha'psolas, the focus is on tikkun ha'ochel. But then he writes, Yeshua Yaakov, that if you have two types of ochel, if you have two types of ochel that are mixed together, and you want one now, you don't want the other one. So there, to remove the one that you don't want, the undesirable type of ochel from the ochel that you want now, that in a chanami would be a melacha she'eino tzricha legufa, and that you should be patur on. Akan the Yeshua Yaakov.
So Yeshua Yaakov's argument that the Baal Amor's reasoning should make a binyan av, the melacha she'eino tzricha legufa is chayav, you could apply that same logic to the Rush and the Zohar.
Correct. Yep. Correct. Not sure.
What's the paradigm of melacha she'eino tzricha legufa by the boar? A digging a pit.
What do you mean?
You dig a pit, if you're digging it for the dirt, and then it's melacha, but if you're digging it for the pit itself.
If you want the pit, then it's Moshe Tzirk Lugufo.
It's for
Chorosh,
eh?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hey, where is this Ramban?
The Gemara is Kufav, it's Lamed Zayin Lamed Ches, but not Birif. No, sorry, they're Mazel Chidushim. Sorry, the Baal Amor is... The Baal Amor is the Dafi Rif, and the Ramban is Kufav Amud Aleph. That's a long Ramban on Melacha she'eino tzricha legufa in the Chidushim on Kufav Amud Aleph. So, to the Yeshua Yaakov's Ha'ar on the Baal Amor, that he thinks that the Baal Amor is correct, then why isn't that a binyan av kol Torah kula or the kol Shabbos kula, that any type of Melacha she'eino tzricha legufa should be chayiv? So in the pre-Moshe, Simon Tetzayin, he suggests that maybe the Baal Amor will agree that fundamentally Borer is Hafradas HaPsolas oriented, that the thrust, the nature of Borer is removing the Psolas and not Tikkun HaOchel. And for that reason, it's not a binyanah for other malachos, because other malachos are, call it in broad terms, tikkun, are malachos tikkun. Most malachos are inherently valuable to affect something positive. Because Boer, by definition, is removing the psoles. So that's definitionally a malacha, even though it's a malacha shem zich legufa, but that can't be malame to other malachos, which are tikkun ha'ochel oriented. And the Shus Yaakov is saying, nagufa proves that bar itself is tikkun ha'ochel oriented, and that's why it's not a malacha shena svicha legufa. But that the last point of the Shus Yaakov that he's forced to say, based on his analysis, that if you have two types of ochel that are mixed together, and you remove the less desirable from the more desirable, that's taka malacha shein sikla gufa, and that should be pateran. So that itself, gufa is a machlokas rishon. So before that, the Mishabrua just observes about the Yeshua Yaakov as follows. That if you assume like the Rambam, he says, the Rambam who holds that malacha shein sikla gufa is chayiv, so then you would understand our psak lemaisa, the beginning of Shin Yates, which we'll flesh out as we go through the siman, this is just hakdama, then you would understand our psak lemaisa, that if you have two types of ochel, and you want one now, you don't want the other one, so to remove the one that you don't want is talk an act of boer. But, according to the other Rishonim that disagree, that if you assume that Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is Pater, like Rav Yishanu against the Rambam, so then, according to the Shus Yaakov, it'll come out that if you have two types of objective Ochel, one of them you're not interested in right now, to remove that should be Mutar Min HaTorah, that should be a Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. So it says in Mishabur, you have to say, according to the Shus Yaakov, to explain those who showed him, which is how we paskin, that even in that case, I don't call that a malacha shein sikh legufa, because there's still some effect on the ochel that you want now, because it's mu'rav with ochel that you don't want now. Even in that case where two things are objectively ochel, subjectively I'm not interested in one of them now, and it's mixed together with the one that I want, so there's a tikkun ha'ochel element there also, that I wouldn't call it a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. But that nekuda, whether you're chayiv and boer for two types of ochel, so that's came into asulidan name of bamilsa. We'll have to talk about it more. But that itself is a machlokas rishonim here on the page on ayin dalit amud aleph, where the Gemara begins, Tarabanan, Hayu Lefan of Mine Ochlin, Bo Rebbe Ochel Bar Meniach, etc. And Tosis is Gorez, Hayu Lefan of Shnei Mine Ochlin. And he quotes Rebbe Chananel, Bo Ochel Mitoch Ochel Shai Chabrera, Shebar Oso Sheino Chafetz Lachol, Mitoch Oso Sherozo Lachol. So tells, of course, Rabbeinu Chananel, that even if you have two things that are objectively ochel, but subjectively one of them is psoles, that's considered a violation of borer min ha-Torah. And Rashi has a girsa lefaneinu hayu lefanav minei ochlin. So midei ochlin could be regular ochel psoles. So some explain that maybe the nekuda samachlokas here is our reviewing borer as a fradas psoles versus tikkun ochel. If it's a fradas psoles, maybe that doesn't apply by Shnei Minei Ochlin, even though one could argue that still is an element of Hafradas HaPsoles because it's subjective psoles. If it's a matter of Tikkun Ochel, so Tikkun Ochel, you more readily understand that applies whether or not you have Ochel and Psoles or Ochel and Ochel, if one of them is subjectively not what you want to use right now. Okay. So let's stop here for today. Next time, we'll pick up with the sugya here on Ayin Dalem and Aleph, try to figure out to what extent, whether the various Amarim's answers to explain the Brisa are mutually exclusive or Mar Amar Chadim or Amar Chadim L'Pligi. And if that's the case, does that mean that in order to be Matir, you need all three Tanaim to be present, or is it sufficient for one Tanaim to be present? And then we'll move on to talk about the Tanaim of Boer, starting with L'Alter. So, Mitzvah Hashem, we will pick up on Sunday. Okay. I assume no one's finished Boer yet. Good.